Sunday was Mother's Day, so today I want to think on the subject of virtuous mother. We are used to walking through the stores and shops and looking at price tags, and many times buying where the price tag reveals the lowest price. If we had to place a price tag on our wife or mother, how much would she be worth? About 80 years ago, the Chase Manhattan Bank did a study on the value of housewives and found them to be the most underpaid and sometimes the most unappreciated women in the world. They said she is not getting her due. They consulted the economists and accountants and evidently others. In figuring her worth, they considered just 12 of her household duties, not the complete job. They considered nursemaid, dietitian, food buyer, cook, dishwasher, housekeeper, laundress, seamstress, practical nurse, maintenance person, gardener, and chauffeur. They figured her working week was 99.6 hours, and using the salaries of that day, her estimated weekly salary would amount to about $640 or $33,000 a year. And of course, the value would be much higher now. But that was quite a bit in that day. Someone else has looked at it from a different angle, and they said an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. What kind of price tag should we place on mother or wife? Let's see what Proverbs 31 says. First of all, we'll think on the subject place by God. Now, price tags are placed by someone who knows the value of the article or the thing they're pricing. And God has placed a price tag upon our mother and says that her price is far above the value of rubies. Notice Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Now, the word virtuous means one of noble character. And in other words, the virtuous mother is worth so much you don't have enough money to buy her. She's priceless. Back in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14, we read, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Now, we may inherit property or wealth from our father, but God gave man something that none other could have, and that is a good wife. A virtuous wife is from the Lord. She is the workmanship of God. Looking back in Genesis chapter 2, 22 and 23, we read, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, and that was Adam, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. What Adam said was really an outburst of joy. Now remember, he had observed everything else that God had made and given it a name, but not one thing was a suitable companion for Adam. But now, he said, she is like me. She is made just for me, and there was nothing lacking, no shame, total joy on Adam's part. She was priceless to Adam. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, Proverbs 12, verse 4, we read, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband." Now, the scripture says that she's a crown to her husband. A crown is used in a number of different ways. One way may be that they're placed on an athlete who has won a contest. And we don't think of it as a crown. We think of a wreath or a prize. But a crown indicates that person is a winner. Or a crown is placed on a king or ruler. A crown indicates that person is important, has a place of prominence. And God says a man with a virtuous wife is an important person, is a winner. She is of great value to him. Now, secondly, the price tag represents her value. In buying a home, for instance, a beautiful, well-built, well-located home may be priced, well, it could vary, but $250,000 or more dollars. An old run-down home may be priced at $50,000 or more. One set of curtains may be priced at $100 and another at $40. And the price tag represents the value of the item. Concerning a virtuous woman, her price tag is far above rubies. That's her value in God's eyes, in the eyes of her husband, and in the eyes of her children. Now, Scripture says she is trustworthy. Notice in verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. A husband can trust her to strengthen the home, to make the home a more wonderful place. And then she is dependable. Notice the last part of verse 12, or the whole verse. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So a virtuous woman is dependable, and the husband will not have to live in question concerning the decisions she makes, or the things she does, or the places she goes, or the activities she becomes involved in, because he knows she will be very dependable. Now, the virtuous woman is a homemaker. Notice verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She provides or seeks to meet the needs of the family. She wants to make sure that her husband or children or whoever's in the home has their needs met. And so she will be a good homemaker. And then also, she is economical. Notice verse 14. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She buys where she can stay within her budget. She buys where it's the best prices. And so she's very economical. And the husband can trust her for that. And then she's also industrious. Notice verse 15. She rises also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. And verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. Again, she's industrious. She's a hard worker. She considers meeting the needs of her own family more important than her own desires or what she wishes she had. And then a virtuous wife has good business sense. Notice verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. And so she has good business sense. Again, wherever she buys things, she buys where the price is good, and she knows that she's doing well. And then verse 18, she's discerning of quality. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. And so again, she's discerning of quality. She buys what's good. She wants to make sure what she gets or what she purchases is very good. And then she is conscientious of her time. And in the last part of verse 18, it says, her candle goeth not out by night. And verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. And verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Again, she is conscientious of her time. She isn't lazy. She wants to make sure that she takes care of the needs of her home, and she wants to do that above her own needs. She isn't lazy. She does whatever she's able to do. And then she's also compassionate. Verse 20 says, she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. So she doesn't think just about her own needs or the need of the family, but she's compassionate toward others that are in need and is quick to reach out and to help those that need help. And then she loves her family. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She loves her family and makes sure that their needs are met and that she doesn't have to be afraid of difficult times that come, because she makes sure that the needs of her family are met. And then she makes sure her appearance is good. In verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple, and so she wants to make sure that others that see her speak well of the family, because she is dressed nice and she takes good care of herself. And then she has hobbies. Notice verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Her hobbies are such that will benefit the family. Again, she's interested just not in her own needs, but she's interested in the needs of the family and that they're well taken care of. And then she speaks wisely and kindly. Notice verses 25 and 26. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So she speaks wisely and kindly. She does not want to bring shame upon herself or her family. She wants to make sure that others think well of both her and her family. And then she has a deep love for the Lord. And notice verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. So she loves the Lord. That's very, very important to her. Not just her own self or her family, but the Lord is loved greatly by her. So in other words, she is dedicated to her home and she is unselfish. Her whole life is wrapped around serving the Lord and meeting the needs of her family by helping others in need. God says she is priceless because she is of such great value to him and to her family and to others. And then thirdly, she is remembered by others. We may have a place we like to shop because the price tags on the goods are so reasonable, and we don't forget. We are quick to recommend such a place to other people, whether it's relatives or friends or whoever. We don't forget good prices, and we don't forget expensive prices. The value of mother isn't forgotten. She shall be praised. Notice the last part of verse 30. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So those, the husband or children or even friends, will praise her and speak very well concerning her. And she stands out above others. In verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. So they are quick to praise her because she stands out. And her husband and children are very quick to praise her. In verse 28, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And so they are quick to praise her and to speak well of her before others. And then she is known, a virtuous mother is known by others through her family, and she's praised by others. In verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And so she is not only known by her family, but she is known also through her family. The way her family is taken care of, others know that she's a wonderful mother and wife, and they will praise her for it. And so she is remembered, and she is not overlooked or not forgotten. The story is told of a child's prayer, and this happened many, many years ago. But I want to read this child's prayer and how it was answered. A little boy about 10 years old was standing before a shoe store on Broadway in New York. He was barefoot and peering through the window and he was shivering with cold. A lady riding up the street in a beautiful carriage drawn by horses observed the little fellow in his forlorn condition and immediately ordered the driver to draw up and stop in front of the store. The lady was richly dressed in silk, and she got off the carriage and went quickly to the little boy and said, "My little fellow, why are you so earnestly looking in that window?" And he said, "I was asking God to give me a pair of shoes." The lady took him by the hand, and they went into the store and asked the proprietor if he would allow one of his clerks to go and get a half a dozen pair of stockings for the boy, and he readily assented. She then asked if he would give her a basin of water and a towel, and he replied again, "Certainly," and quickly brought them to her. She took the little fellow to the back of the store, and removing her gloves, she knelt down and washed his little feet and dried them with the towel. By this time, the young man had returned with the stockings. Placing a pair of stockings on his feet, this woman, she purchased and gave him a pair of shoes, and tying up the remaining pair of stockings, she gave them to him. Then she patted him on the head and said, "No doubt, my little fellow, that you now feel comfortable." As she turned to go, the astonished lad caught her by the hand and, looking up in her face with tears in his eyes, he said these words, "Are you God's wife? Are you God's wife?" You see, what that little boy experienced was that which many people would not have done. Now, this was written concerning a virtuous woman and a mother, since it's Mother's Day. But these things, characteristics, need to be true in all of our lives. We need to be the kind of people that are kind and very loving and very helpful and want things taken care of and want others to know that we love the Lord and that we do things that will bring praise to His name. And so what this woman meant to this little boy is what we should mean to other people. People should see in us a very godly character and one that stands out above many others. Let's close in prayer. Father, how thankful we are that you are God and our Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray that we would love you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And Lord, I pray that the wives and mothers in the home would be the kind of wife and mother that this woman was. And Lord, I pray that all of us would manifest this kind of a character. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.